Good morning. I only have to say that because it went off now, it's on again. Okay. Good morning. I said it was very good to be back. A number of extremely important errands and missions that we were on, and we finally have made it back over here. Maybe it is worthwhile to let you know that my son was elected to the city council of Afula. He was the head of the only party in this country that united four parties: Shas, Tukuma, Gold, that's one of the parties, and some other party. But there was a little, you know, it was a cliffhanger. We didn't even know what kind of cliffhanger it was. He's the second on the list. The truth is, it's his party, but in order to keep the peace, he had to give the first slot to somebody else. So we're not going to talk about that. You don't want me to talk about that. No, I'm not going to. No. He was number two. And when the polls closed an hour or two later, they only one came in. That's the fellow who's nominally at the head of the list, and my son is not a member of the city council of Afula. It was a sad, sad night for all the Golds and all of the people who voted for Rabbi Gold in Afula. And then Wednesday night, the votes of the soldiers came in and they put him over the top. And there was joy from all of the homes in Afula. You heard people say, Shteach, Mazel Tov, Rav Gold, etc. So right now, until, of course, somebody is going to go to the Supreme Court and call for a recount, and who knows what, he is at least a member of the city council. So, okay. Now you know one of the things that we were doing. We weren't vacationing. We weren't vacationing.
Campaign.
Not a chance. All right, let's go. The Parshas told us. In Parshas told us we have one of the most misunderstood stories in all of Torah. I think it's the most misunderstood of all. Everybody gives their own pshatim, and everybody reads into it whatever they want to read into it, and most of it is not too good. We're talking about the story of the brachos. Yitzchak wants to bless his son Esav. Rivka overhears what's happening, and she instructs her son Yaakov that he's going to go get the brachos. And that is, we're talking about something that seemingly is a terrible thing for a husband, a wife, and a son to do to a husband and a father who's having difficulty seeing. They're going to betray him, they are going to fool him, they're going to deceive him. It's a terrible thing. And of course everybody therefore comes up with all of their great pshatim. Why didn't Rivka speak to him? There must have been a strained relationship between them. You know, the marriage was on the rocks. For about 100 years it was anyway. And Yaakov, couldn't speak to his father openly. And the one, when you read it and very blissfully misunderstand the whole parasha, then you come to the end and you can't help but shedding a tear. Poor Esav. Poor Esav. Been robbed of his blessings. Been robbed. And I've heard already, in my years, I've heard every kind of nonsensical pshat that you can begin to you can imagine. And I'll tell you, even pshatim that you can't imagine. I remember many years ago hearing from a rabbi said that what we learned from this parsha is that Yaakov Avinu was a mama's boy. God. I heard that, I got sick. I've been sick from that statement for 50, 60 years already. What we have to do over here is, and we began it, I think, last year or 2 years ago, and only got to a certain point, and I want to pick up from that point. Instead of, and I've been saying this for years, instead of reading into the parasha, let's read the parasha and let the parasha tell us its story. Let's not superimpose our psychological profound insights, you understand, on the shaky relationship over there between Rivka and Yitzchak. They don't talk to each other. They can't communicate. She can't. Why can't she walk into him and tell him, listen, Yitzchak, you want to give the brachas to Esau? Do you know what a Hoshe Esau is? You're going to give the blessings and, in a sense, the leadership of a people that's going to give it to him. What? You don't get what's going on over here? What happened? No. She can't do that. There's going to be a good reason why she can't do that. It has to be done the way it's done. That's enough of an introduction. So first we're going to read a few psukim. And you know, if we don't finish it this year, in many years that we're going to get together over here to learn Torah. But let's see how much we can do now. I think people lose sight of the fact the parsha really begins with Vayihiki Zaken Yitzchak, when Yitzchak grew old. But they forget that there are two psukim before the story of the blessings, and they just have to be read. They have to be read. Vayi Esav ben Arbon Shono, Vayikach Isha, he took a wife, Yehudit bat Be'edi Hachiti, Ved Basmas bat Elon Hachiti. Took two wives. So, Yehudit sounds a very nice name. Yehudit bat Be'edi Hachiti and Basmas bat Elon Hachiti, Vatiyeno Morat Ruach Yitzchak L'Rivka. Now, I don't understand the English translation there, and they were a provocation of the Spirit to Isaac and to Rebekah. They were a provocation of the Spirit. Meras Ruach means they caused a bitterness of spirits, of Kitzayumen gemacht. These daughters-in-law were a cause of great pain and suffering to Yitzchak and Rivka. Finished with that part of the story. Finished. I think it's an important introduction, because if you're going to go into this thinking that, well, Yitzchak doesn't know a thing about this Esau fellow, so the Torah puts it right over here. Yitzchak knows. If anything, Yitzchak may be trying in the course of the next parasha. He may be trying to bring him closer, to involve him in the family, etc. But Yitzchak is not the complete fool who has no idea what his son Esav is. Totally unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. Living in the same house, he knows the difference between the son who's sitting by the Gemara all the time and the one who's off in the field hunting. Well, he doesn't know what he was born yesterday. He doesn't know that these are... He knows what the Esav is. But he keeps talking Yitzchak. Now the parasha begins. Yitzchak grew old. And his eyes became dim from seeing. Vayikrat Esav beno hagadol, he called to Esav his bigger son. Now, this has been said by the Pasuk. The Pasuk refuses to refer to Esav as the Bechor. Pointedly, the Pasuk is referring to Esav as beno hagadol, because Esav is not the Bechor. He has sold his birthright. Pasuk is very careful. He called Esav, Beno HaGadol, Vayomer Elav, and he said to him, Beni, Vayomer Elav, and Esav said, Hineini, I'm here. Vayomer Hineino Zekanti, behold, I'm going old, Lo Yadati, Yom Mosi, I don't know when I'm going to die, but ato, now. The word now is very important. We'll see that. Sono kelecha, take your implements. Tel yecha v'kashtecha, tel yecha is your sword, v'kashtecha your bow, v'tzei hasadeh, and go out into the field with tzudoli tzoyed, and hunt game for me, and hunt game for me. V'tzudoli tzoyed. We may yet talk about the fact that there's a different spelling there, but let's wait. Go out into the field. Maybe we should make note of the Tzei Hasada. Why does he have to tell him Tzei Hasada? Why doesn't he go tell him, bring? What does he have to do? Why does he tell him everything? You know, maybe he should tell him whatever else it is that he needs to go out. Just go get. All that's necessary is go get something for me to eat. Faseli matamim. And make for me the delicacies, kashera hafti, that I have loved. Here also, tremendous amount of misunderstanding. We get this, the impression that's left over here is Yitzchak Yadzen needs a gute, gesunde, juicy steak in order that you should be able to bless Esav or Yaakov. I mean, but it seems so materialistic, so gashmiistic. Get me the stuff that I love. V'havili and bring me v'ochel and I will eat. Ba'avur t'varechecho nafshi b'terem amut. Ba'avur t'varechecho ami. Yeah, bring. So that my soul may bless you before I die. What's the relationship between the two? Meanwhile, v'rivka shamat, Rivka hears. Here also one may be left with the impression that she's listening in, you know. We know. The whole world knows now what the American government has been doing over there. Washington's been spying on the whole world and listening to everybody's conversation. So you can't be sure. I've checked my house for bugs, you know. I'm not sure what's going on in my house. All right. Anyway, no. We'll see. The Targum and the Medrash say that she was being informed by Ruach HaKodesh. She was being informed. You will also find out that in this conspiracy to deceive, in quotation marks, in this conspiracy to so-called deception of Yitzchak, the heavens, God himself is going to get involved in this. The angels in heaven, everybody's directing, everybody has a finger in this pie of making sure that Yaakov is going to receive the blessings and not Esav. Not so simple. This is a classic divine deception. All right. Rivka hears v'daber Yitzchak al Esav b'no, when Yitzchak is talking to his son Esav. V'yelech Esav hasode. Esav went out to the... I nearly made a mistake. I said, and Esav went out to the field. V'yelech doesn't mean he went out. Yitzchak told him, say hasode, go out to the field. It does not say about Esav Vayetze Hasada, he went out to the field. You know why? Because the field was his home. He never goes out to the field. He goes to the field. Yitzchak, who's not a hunter, who has a home, he tells Esav, say Hasada. Torah is very careful. This Esav doesn't have to go out anywhere. Wherever he is the field. He's the hunter at home, wherever he may be. Vayelech Esav Hasada, and Esav went out in the field, Latzud Sayyid Lahavi, in order to hunt and bring. V'rivka Amra Yaakov Bina. Now, one of the things that we talked about last year, the main thrust of the shiur last year was on the two words v'rivka omra. Why doesn't it say v'tomer rivka? Wouldn't that be the normal way to say it? V'tomer rivka and rivka said. What's the difference between v'tomer rivka and v'rivka omra? V'rivka omra is past perfect. Rivka Amron means Rivka had said. The big question over here is, and this we discussed this last year, but I'll just give you a little review. Rivka had said. What do you mean had said? She's already speaking to him now. The Rivka Amron and Rivka had said El Yaakov benot to her son Yaakov Lemos, so saying, Hine shamati et avicha, you'll see right away. I heard your father speaking to Esav, your brother, so say. Bring me from your hunting, and make for me delicacies for Okhela, and I will eat. And I will bless you before God, before my death. Now, my son, listen to my voice. And this already we said very often in the past. There's a difference between Shema Likol and Shema Bikol. Shema Bikol means listen precisely and carefully and follow everything that I say. Shema Likol means just listen in general to what I have to say. Notice she's being very specific. Rishvi is saying, oi, Hezek Gudai, my kind. La'asher ani mitzavot, that I command you. She is not sparing any words whatsoever. Mitzaveh, I'm commanding you. I'm telling you to do this. The one who's going to be caught in the most difficult dilemma here is really going to be Yaakov. Mm-hmm. Yaakov is the one who's going to have to walk a very, very thin tightrope to make sure that he listens to his mother and he attempts not to deceive his father. He does not like what he's been commanded to do. It goes against his whole neshama. Yaakov, we are told, is the Ish Emes. He's the man of truth. Putting him through this sort of a deception is something that is so anathema to him. But he has to do it. He's caught with a command of his mother and kibbut av, honoring his father on the other side. This is an extremely, extremely terrible dilemma. And he's going to walk such a thin tightrope. We're going to find at the beginning of next week's Sedra, for example, it says, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Charona. Yaakov went out of Be'er Sheva and he went to Charon. But why couldn't the Pasuk simply have said, Vayelech Yaakov Charona? Yaakov went to Charon. Why does it say he went out of Be'er Sheva? I mean, chances are that he's never going to get to Haran if he doesn't go out of Be'er Sheva. He lives in Be'er Sheva. You know, that's pretty obvious. So some of the Farshim make a very good comment. At the end of this week's Sedra, it says that Rivka tells him, your brother wants to kill you, flee from here. Yitzchak calls Yaakov in and tells him, go find a kala by my family in Haran. That means Yaakov has two mitzvahs. He has a mitzvah of his mother to get out of here, out of harm's way. But he has another mitzvah. His father wants him to go to Haran in order to find a wife. So therefore the Torah is so wonderfully balanced. He went out of Be'er Sheva. That way he is fulfilling kibud aim, what his mother told him. Yeah. Get out of here! Get away! And then Vagelech Choroma, he goes to Choron, which was fulfilling the mitzvah that his father told him to go marry somebody from the family. Yaakov here is caught in this. There it's not a dilemma, by the way. Over there, Vayetzik Yaakov Yashav Avyelech Choronah, then he's able to fulfill two mitzvahs with one journey. He fulfills the mitzvah of his mother, and he fulfills the mitzvah of his father. But what he's going to have to do over here is very difficult. Very, very difficult. All right, let's see. That's it. So she tells him, "Ato b'nishma, because listen to me, Hashem ami mitzavot after I command you, lechna el atzon, please go to the sheep, the kachli misham, and take for me from there, shnei gedoyis, and two goats, tovim, good ones, ve'es otam matamim, I'm going to make them delicacies, la'avicha, kasher ahei, for your father, as he loves." We'll get back to the rest. Let's turn over. On the right-hand side, number one, is on the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, a medrash by the Tana Rebbe Eliezer. And what this medrash is going to do for us is it's going to put the entire parsha into some kind of an historic perspective, maybe a mood. Something is taking place in this parsha that is not so obvious by simply reading it. Reb Shimon Omer. Reb Shimon says, "B'shor she'nekad Yitzchak, when Yitzchak was brought on the Arkada, Nosat Einov Lamala, he looked heavenwards, V'ro'at Hashchina, and he saw the divine presence. Uksivin, it says, Ki lo yin'ani ha'adam v'chai, man cannot see me and live. Ela, tachat hamita kohu Einov." He saw God. Seeing God should be a reason to depart from this world. But what happened instead was that his eyes became dimmed. Leizik Natal taught his old age, Shalema, Vayik Yisakhen Yitzchak, when Yitzchak grew old, Atikema Einov Meraot, and his eyes became dimmed from seeing. Mikanat Olamei, from here you learn, Shasuma Choshev Tumeis, that somebody who's blind is considered like he's dead. All right. That's not the most important part comes now. Here's the background for Yitzchak calling in Esau. Higi aleil yom ha-Pesach. It was Erev Pesach. About 400 years before Pesach will ever appear on the face of this earth. The only thing is, in Parshat Lech Lecha, there was the Brid Bein Abatorim, the covenant that was entered into between God and Avram. Your children are going to be enslaved for 400 years, and afterwards I am going to judge those who have enslaved them, and I'm going to bring them out to freedom. Avram knew about it. Yitzchak knew about it. That prophecy had come to Avram. The Brid Bein Abatorim took place on the 15th of Nisan. And from that time on and further, Avram and Yitzchak marked the 15th day of Nisan, because that's the day that they believed with absolute perfect faith that 400 years down the line, the Jewish people are going to go out to freedom. If anything, it really presents us profound faith and trust in God, just as Jews are going to do the night of Pesach in Mitzrayim. They're going to be celebrating, they're going to sit down to the Seder in Mitzrayim, they're going to sit down to the Seder, and they're going to celebrate their freedom before it took place. It's going to happen at the stroke of midnight. But they're sitting down before it all. It must have been a very interesting kind of haggadah. I mean, also said, in Yes Hashem, the Chavrei Shemit Helfman, tonight we're going to go out to freedom and we're celebrating it. Celebrate July 4th, 1776. on July 3rd, 1776. George Washington would look at you like you're out of your mind. Understand? Or maybe a more recent example. Celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut on the fourth day of Iyar, 1948. Celebrating freedom before it's happened. But that's what the Jewish people did in the Tzchaim. You know where it all comes from? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They all kept that night. Here it is, Higia. Higia Leil Yom HaPesach, the Torah Yitzchak, Leisub, and Agadol. And he called to Esav, his oldest son, Vomalim, and he said to him, Bini, Zeh HaLayla Kol HaOlam Kulo Omrim Bo Halel. This is the night that the whole world says Halel. V'otzro Tlolim Niftachim Bo. The storehouses of dew, great blessing, are opened up on this night. Aseli Matanim Ad Shani Ba'odi. Make for me the delicacies as long as I'm still alive, Avarecheko, that I can bless you. Ruach HaKodesh Mishiva V'omeret. Listen to this. So beautiful. There's such fascinating ideas that Medrash tells you. Ruach HaKodesh, a spirit, responds by saying, Al Tilcham Et Ra'ayin. Don't eat bread with the one who has a bad eye. And the end of that pasuk is, Va'al Tit'av L'mat Amotav. Don't desire his delicacies. The Shechinah is telling him, Yitzchak. He's not saying it to Yitzchak, just saying it. This is a bad deal. This is not the one who is supposed to receive the brachos. It's not his delicacies. Halach, he went, Lahavi, v'nitakev sham. He went to bring it, and he was detained there. Those two words are fascinating. You know what it means? Under normal circumstances, he would have gone out into the field, he would have caught something, come back. But no. It seems things are... There are things happening all over, and he just doesn't work as quickly as he usually does. Who do you think's out there stopping him? You know, God has all of the forces of nature out there. I don't know, the deer and the antelope fled till he finds himself something to bring. You know what they're doing? They're holding Esav up out into the field so that Yitzchak, Rivka, and Yaakov will be able to take the brachas. I'm saying the whole world. You know what? The animal kingdom is involved in all of this. It's far more profound than one would imagine just by reading the psukim. There's something that has to happen over here. And the whole world is involved in this. Nature, the Shekhinah. Why does Yitzchak tell this? Why does he tell Esav, tonight is the night that the whole world sings Hallel. The storehouses of dew. I have a feeling that what he wants to do is he wants to, in some sense, involve Esav in the great history of a people that he can be part of. He's telling the whole world is going to sing for this people that will come from us. He wants to involve him. Esav doesn't want to get involved. We'll see. Anyway, then it goes on, and the Medrash goes on and says, Amra Rivka to Yaakov. Rivka said to Yaakov, Bini, listen to this. My son, Halayla Hazeh, this night, Oitzer is fallen, Niftachim Bo. Rivka says, this is the night that the storehouses of dew open up and the ones above, you know, not only the whole world, we're talking about now chocolate. The angels in heaven are going to say Shiloh. On this night, your children are going to be redeemed. This night, they are going to sing songs of praise. Make delicacies to your father so that when he's still alive, he should bless you. Yaakov, Hoyaboki Batora, Pochad Libal, Kilasoviv. Yaakov knew Torah very well and he was frightened of the idea that his father may curse him. Amr Elohim, so his mother said, Bini, Birochot Alecha Valzarecha, there are blessings upon you and your children. V'im Klalot, if there will be curses alive on Nafshi, I take responsibility. Shenema, Alai Kilalotcha. Holach, the Hegishne Gedaya Yizim, he brought two goats. The Hegishne Gedaya Yizim, Hoyamacholos Yitzchak. This is what Yitzchak, the old man, is going to eat, two goats. That already should sort of, that should be a signal to us that something is happening here beneath the surface. Two goats. Yitzchak needs two goats. That should immediately get us to pay attention that something is going on here far beyond what seems to be in the psukim simply. One of the nafshinama, tzaddik ochel sove nafsho. A tzaddik only eats so that he should be sated. Nothing more. That's a pasuk in Mishlei. A tzaddik was eat two goats. Ella, two goats, echot kinegar pesach, ve echot la soslo mat amin lechol, de taninam ha pesach enu ba ela la sova. There were two sacrifices that were eaten on the night of Pesach. There was the korban chagiga, and there was the korban pesach. Because the korban pesach had to be eaten when one was at the point of being sated, the last thing, the afikoman. That was the but they had the meal, Sudas Yom Tov, a meal before. That was one goat. And the other goat was the Korban Pesach. Okay. Now, last year we did a number of pieces in a sefer called Aksava HaKabbalah. And I'm taking a few sections of the Aksava HaKabbalah, which on this parasha, as on all of Torah, but on this parasha certainly is just fascinating. He gets down to the very heart of things. So we'll see what he has to say. The Ksav HaKabbalah, here it is. I did the same thing last year. I Googled him. He was Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg. Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg. And it's very interesting. Whoever put together the Google works over there knew exactly what he stood for. Because when you Google Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, they tell you also to see the Malbim and the Torah Tamima. Because the fact is, Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, who was Rav for 34 years in Konigsberg, let's see, he was born in 1785, and he died in 1865. He created a genre of Torah that was not known beforehand. And he was the one who inspired the Malbim, who was born 30 years after he was, and then the Torah Tamima. The Malbim was Meir Leibish Malbim. The Torah Tamima was the son of the Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Baruch HaLevi Epstein. Torah, I don't think there's a Jewish home that doesn't have a set of Torah Tamima. And they all it was all the same thing. He wanted to show that haktav, that which is written Torah, the hakabbalah, and it does not mean Kabbalah, mysticism. Kabbalah meaning Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, that what's written in the oral law is synchronized with the written law. And if you look at it carefully, you can find the Torah Shebal Peh in the Torah Shebichtav. It's not a new creation of the rabbis and its rabbinic Judaism. Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebapel were both given at Sinai. And he wrote the Ksav HaKavod. He sees it in the words of Torah. The Malbim did the same job, but did it in his own unique way. The Torah Tamima is Rabbi Baruch HaLevi Epstein, that Torah is complete. The written law and the oral law, all one. So now, he brings in number three, we'll get to number two later. Number three, I hope we'll get there. Can't be sure about anything. He brings this Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, the Medrash, Yitzchak and Rivka speaking to Esav and Yaakov about what a great night this is. In Jewish history, it's going to be the night of redemption. So he says, Hayotze lonu mikol hadvarim ha'ela. I'm reading now. What is it that emerges from all of this? Ki achilat ha'matamim hayu l'sibat hazman. The reason why Yitzchak wants to eat delicacies has nothing to do with his appetite, his need to eat. It has nothing to do with the fact that he can only bless him if he eats. Nothing. It was related to the time, that day. And he's going to find it all in one word. When, you don't have to, I'll read to you. Yeah. Yitzchak speaks to Esav and he says, Va'ata, now. Who needed the word Va'ata? He could have simply said, take your bow and arrow and go out there. Ata means Yitzchak is telling him, he's bringing him into this great secret that's known in the family of what Jewish history is going to be all about. Yitzchak doesn't need a steak. Has nothing to do with that. They're celebrating the freedom and the march of the Jewish people throughout history. That's what they're doing. L'sibas hazman. Hazman goram l'achilas mitzvah zu. It was the time that was the reason for this eating of mitzvah. Gam hazman goram lo l'yitzchak levaret et b'no. It's also this time is a propitious time to bless his son. Kileil zeh zman bracha, because the night of Pesach is the time of blessing. Sheotzro tlolim, that the storehouses of dew represents blessing. There's great blessing in the world. He chooses that night because of its great significance for the Jewish people throughout all of history. What was the first bracha that he gave? He gave to Yaakov, V'yitem l'cho mital ha'shamayim. God is going to give you from the dew of the heavens. U'b'zeit yashev lanu masha'ondu bo ha'mefarshim. This is going to answer the question that so many of the mefarshim asked. What's the eating have to do with the bracha? And it brought to all sorts of misunderstandings. What's the relationship between his eating and the bracha? Loma tola Yitzchak is a bracha b'achilas hamatamim kashet. Hear b'al zad tzihu li Esav. As he commands Esav. You know what the question is? When Yaakov is going to bless his children in Parshat Vayechi, you don't hear a word about food. Moshe is going to bless the Jewish people in Parshat Zotza bracha. Food, mat'amin, steaks, none of the sort. So what is it over here? Yitzchak, who's the Holy One? The Holy One is the one who needs a meal, yes?
Why don't we have this special custom of blessing our children, especially at the Seder? There is no such custom.
Can't answer. I can't answer because I'm a Galiciana. We don't bless our children Friday night either. I don't know, I come into homes, even some of the homes of my my sons-in-law, they bless their children Friday night. So therefore, I can't answer you why we don't bless our children.
No, but it's a special
gift. By the way, but it's very, I think it's very nice. I think you've come up with something that's very good. I think that you should institute a Pesach night, bless your children. But you know what, I think if we think a little bit more into it, there may be built into the whole Seder, there's a blessing for children. Because the whole Seder revolves around children. That they should think, that they should ask, that they should be present, that they should stay awake, that they should be part of it, and that we should know how to speak to each child according to its own level. Uh-huh. Children are... You see, you got me thinking. I thought you got me stumped over there for a minute, but no, you don't get stumped that easily. All right. Let's go further. So he says, the Mefarshim asked, Yaakov, it didn't have to eat before he gave the brachas. Moshe didn't have to eat before he gave the brachas. Ach, Moshe lo also came to Baruch at Yisrael. Val zeh, hir wa mefarshim dvarim kishuy hatziyur. The mefarshim said all sorts of things that are difficult to imagine and to understand. Gam le divreyem, even according to what they say, shahoyu hamatamim la'asot ban hachona, roy, l'nefesh ha-mevarech, ha-mevarech, according to Mepharshim, say that the eating was in order to prepare the soul of the blesser and the blessed in some way. Very important what he's going to say now. In other words, it would mean therefore that the delicacies are what are going to make, the eating is going to make the bracha possible. That's what it seems according to many of the Mepharshim. I don't know. You know, you can make all sorts of your own pshat, like people are always doing, because we talk, you know, you're in a good mood, and you go, So he says, if that would be so, that would mean that the delicacies, the meal, is the cause of the brachas. Can't be, he says. Then it would turn out that the delicacies, they were the main reason, l'hashpat ha-brocha, that the brocha should be able to come down and that it should be received. Yichelon, he says, the pasuk is going to be difficult to understand. Because it says in the pasuk, bring me matanim ba'avur tevarechecha nafshi. The Ksava Kabbalah is a master at reading words and understanding their significance. The word ba'afur does not mean the cause of something that comes afterwards. If you want to say something is the cause of something else, you say the word biglal. Biglal avos toshiyavani. Because of the fathers, the word ba'afur does not mean because. So he says, Yitzhe, the pasuk would Gidloshim Ba'afur Yishamesh Bid Kashnut. I have to go through the digduk over here, but Ba'afur just doesn't mean that. Ba'afur means so that. Oh no, that's a better word. A better word. An extension of so that, not that it is the cause, but this will come afterwards. But not that A matamim are causing B. Can very well mean that the matamim are the mitzvah of the night and following the mitzvah of the night, not that the mitzvah of the night causes it. Because then it would have to be a completely different word. The word biglal would have to be used. Let's skip a little further here, he says. Vinidali, from the line of the Ki Yisod Divrei Pirkei Rebbe Elazar, the foundation for the words of the Pirkei Rebbe Elazar are in the word that Yitzhak began with when he said, that's what I pointed out, V'ata, now. Everything starts with the word V'ata. Now is a special time. And that's why everything in the parasha is going to take place. Sola pilecho. Milas va'ato yore alazman. It tells us about the time. Ki lo'oma hazman hu hagodeim. L'shnei dvarim asher amrele. The time is what causes that we should be eating this. Not that the eating is going to cause the bracha. The time is what causes us to eat the shnei gedaye izim, one as a symbol of the carbon chagiga and the other as a symbol of the carbon Pesach. Let's go to number four. He says a further idea where it's underlined. V'hoiso mikavonas hitzo l'kasher nafsho b'shat ha-bracha el ha-makom ha-mukudash b'yoteh. Watch. He takes words, phrases, and here, by the way, he touches upon most probably one of the most significant words in the parasha. Yitzchak tells Esav, Tzei ha-sodeh. You remember a few weeks ago, we learned about the Gemara Pesachim that says, Gemara Pesachim said that Avraham Avinu called Har Abayit Har, Bahar Hashem Yera'eh. Yitzchak called it Sodeh. Vayetze Yitzchak Losuach Basodeh. Yitzchak went out to pray in the field. Yaakov Karo Bayit. Yaakov called that same place Bayit. Einzek Ki Im Beit Elokim. A word that's going to be repeated here a number of times, and it becomes the essence of Yitzhak. So first, we have that first pasuk, Vayetze Yitzhak Losuach Basada. Rivka is on her way, coming from Padan Aram. And Yitzhak goes out Losuach Basada Lifnot Erev toward evening. He's davening Mincha. Vatisor Rivka et Einel. Rivka lifted her eyes. Vatere et Yitzchak. And she saw Yitzchak. And she turns to Eliezer and she says, Mi murish halozeh haholev basodeh likratenu. Who is this man in the field who is coming toward us? That means so far, for Yitzchak, the sodeh is the place of tefillah. For Yitzchak, the sodeh becomes the place of Ahava. The love between him and Rivka begins there. When Yaakov was going to come in for the brachas in this parasha, it says, Re'ei re'ach b'ni k're'ach sodeh. The scent that comes in with Yaakov is the scent of the field. What's the significance of the field? It means something, the field. So he says, you know what the meaning of the field is? Let's read. V'hayta kavanat Yitzchak l'kasher nafsho b'shat ha-bracha l'makom ha-mekudash b'yoteh. He wanted that at the time of bracha he should be, his soul should be bound up with the holiest place on the face of this earth, what he called the field. Just as in tefillah, a person is supposed to have his mind and his heart facing Yerushalayim and Har HaBayit. At this moment when he's going to give the brachas, you know what he's doing by giving the brachas? By giving the brachas, he is moving the history and the journey of the Jewish people one giant step ahead. He is crowning the one who's going to be the builder of that family and that nation. So he wanted it to come via the sanctity of Har HaBayit. That's why he tells Esav Tzei HaSodeh, V'hu HaMakom Shehu Miyuchad Elov Tomid L'Tfilah. That was a place that for him was always the place where he davened. K'mo Shekosav, as it says, V'yetzi Yitzhak L'Suah B'Sodeh. V'hu Har HaMaria, it's the Temple Mount, Makom Akedato, the place where he was brought as a sacrifice. Yitzchak's soul is bound up with the Makom HaMikdash. Yitzchak is a Kadosh Elyon. And this is what he wants to transmit to his son. That's the place that Yaakov said about it. Because that's where all blessing for the Jewish people comes down from Har HaBayit. Therefore, at the end of that sentence, he says, well, that's why Yitzchak said, Tzei HaSodeh. He didn't have to say Tzei HaSodeh. Those two words are unnecessary. Go bring me meat. The Tzei HaSodeh is, he wants to infuse sanctity in this Esav. He knows what Esav is. The bigger question is, why doesn't Rivka walk into him and say to him, Yitzchak, it's very uncomfortable for me to tell you this, but you're making a big mistake. Esav is not the person who's going to be the father of this people. Rivka has an advantage over Yitzchak, an awesome advantage over Yitzchak. I believe that here is information that was given to Rivka, and it was confidential. At the beginning of the parasha, it says that she's going through a terrible pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And she said, "In Cain, Lomozel, and Rocky, what is life all about that I have to go through such horrible pain?" Vatelech lidroshat Hashem. She went to ask in the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'eva. She went to ask, what is it that's happening here? Vayomer Hashem lo. And God said to her, beginning of the Sedra, Shnei goyim bevitneich. There are two nations in your womb. Ushnei le'umim, and two great people, mimeayah, from your innards, yiporeidu uzmerem. Vayomer Hashem lo. God told her, and she understood well. She understood that this information is for her, and she cannot share it with Yitzchak. If she could have shared it with Yitzchak, she would have walked into him and would have told him, Yitzchak, Esav is not the one. I know that Esav is not the one. I was told so by God. But she can't do it, because it was said to her, and she cannot share it. Why can't she share it? Is that a good question? Well, yes, first. It's a good question. You know why she can't share it? Listen very carefully to what I'm saying. Because the Rabbeinu Shalom wanted that somebody should love Esav. There had to be somebody in the family that was going to love Esav. Why? Why does somebody have to love Esav? Esav is an Oizwurf. Why does somebody have to love him? So I said, the reason why Yitzchak has to love Esav, because by loving Esav, he's going to save Yaakov's life and save the life of all the Jewish people. At the end of the Sedra, when it says that Esav wants to kill Yaakov, So he says, when the days of my father's mourning will come. Esav cannot do it while Yitzchak is alive. After all is said and done, there is such a relationship between Esav and Yitzchak that he's incapable of doing it as long as Yitzchak is alive. Which means here at the great moment that he's ready to destroy his brother, his hand is stayed. Even more than that, next week's Seder, it says that Rashi brings the famous Medrash, that awesome Medrash, that when Yaakov fled from Be'er Sheva, Esav sent Eliphaz, the Einikol, after kill. The nephews, kill Uncle Yaakov. And Rashi brings it. that when he finally caught up with him, Yansin, what it means, Yaakov Avinu was traveling beyond the speed of light because God is sending him off to Haran. And this Eliphaz, because of his profound hatred, catches up with Yaakov and he's ready to kill him. And the unbelievable conversation that takes place.
Yaakov gives him.
Unbelievable conversation takes place. He says, listen, my father sent me to kill you. Oh, I can imagine Yaakov saying, my, that's very serious. Now, what are we going to do about this? You understand? So he tells him, you know what? Take all my money. And one who's poor is considered dead. It'll be like you're dead. Like I'm dead. So Eliphaz is thrilled. Eliphaz is thrilled. But Rashi says, watch, because Rashi says over there that when he's ready to strike down Yaakov, stopped. He couldn't do it at the last minute. You know why he couldn't do it? Because of Yitzchak. There was a relationship between Esav and his children with Yitzchak. That relationship saved Yaakov's life twice. The Rebbein Shem did not want Yitzchak to know what this Esav is like. Esav needs somebody who's going to love him. That's going to save Yaakov. Rivka knows the truth. And you know what Rivka is doing this whole parasha? What happens if you know? You know for sure that somebody, a friend of yours, a member of your family, is about to make a terrible, terrible mistake, a tragic mistake. So what are you supposed to do? You can't tell them. Yitzchak, in this sense, is truly blind. A blind man is crossing the street, and there's a big truck coming. You know what you do? You pull him out of the way. You pull him out of the way. Rivka understands that Yitzchak is making a tragic, historic mistake, and she knows for sure it's a mistake. Because she was told by God that the younger one is going to be the great one. So what's she supposed to do? That's her dilemma. But for her, it's not a dilemma. The dilemma is going to be greater for Yaakov than it's going to be for her. She has no dilemma. She knows exactly what she's supposed to do. She knows, and nothing stops her. She knows that Yitzchak is making a horrible, horrible historic mistake, and I got to stop him. And she sets about doing that. That's why she commands Yaakov. She can command him to do it because she knows that this is the right thing. But Yaakov is caught in the middle between these two. I'm afraid that we're going to have to wait another year in order to take you by the hand and walk you through Yaakov. Every word that he says is with such careful precision. I'm going to have you, you won't be able to wait. But you know, time goes quickly anyway. Every word that he says is going to be weighed and measured. Yaakov is not a liar. Yaakov is not deceiving his father. Rivka is not deceiving her husband. The two of them are doing precisely what has to be done. They know something that Yitzchak doesn't know. Yitzchak dare not know it, because if Yitzchak would know it, Esav would have killed Yaakov. Everything works out perfectly. And there's no question over here of Rivka has this kind of a relationship. She's frightened of him. He's a holy man. She can't talk to him. Their marriage is on the rocks. Narishkeit. What you have to do is you have to let the psukim speak to you. And in that respect, the Ksava Kabbalah is a master, but I'm going to have to leave you with all these things. You know, Ot Chazal Mamoed, there will yet be time. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, just to let you know, in about 5 minutes, we'll start with a very short, unique presentation and very special presentation by Vladimir Roth, who is a Soviet defector and has done a tremendous amount of